have several announcements you'll see in your bulletin. There's a lot going on in our church, so we want to hit the highlights here. On April the 1st, there'll be a game night. Bring some finger foods and drinks, and it will be from 6 to 8:30 p.m. There'll be some dominoes, and so it should be a good time to fellowship and visit. And then we have the children will gather next Sunday, April the 3rd, for an Easter activity in the fellowship hall immediately following our worship service. There will be lunch and crafts. Don't forget the 1 hour of sharing envelopes in your pews. You can contribute to that offering. Remember that some of those funds are going to help the people in Ukraine. We have Presbyterian missions over there, and so if your donation is put in that envelope, it will go towards that. On Tuesday evening, we have the Centering Prayer Group at 5:30. It's a meeting for prayer in the parlor for 45 minutes. It's every Tuesday. And then Pastor still has his brown bag Bible study going on at noon on Wednesdays, so be sure to participate in that if you have time and the desire. And then on May 1st, we have our church picnic. We always love that. It's so much fun. We, if the weather permits, we're out in the yard, and everyone gets to visit and some great fried chicken. So be sure to plan on that. Vacation Bible School is in the making. Mary Lee is working hard on that. Be sure and let her know if you can participate. Lots of volunteers. We need shepherds to move the kids around. It's always a fun time, and we have lots of games for them and great programs. So we just thank Mary Leah so much again. And then we have all of our people we need to be praying for, and continue to do that. We need to pray for our families. And be sure and fill out your little red folders. Let us know you're here, and I believe that's it. Oh, no. These are in the Narthex. It's our annual report. So everyone grab one of these. They're on the table on your left as you leave. Thank you.
Welcome. This is the house of God. All are welcome here. Let us begin with prayer. eternal lover of our wayward race. We praise you for your ever-open door. You open your arms to accept us even before we turn to meet your welcome. You invite us to forgiveness even before our hearts are softened to repentance. Hold before us the image of our humanity made new, that we may live in Jesus Christ, the model and the pioneer of your new creation. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. We are ambassadors for Christ.
God has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation.
We gather as God's beloved family to worship God and to offer our praise.
Let us join our hearts in song and in prayer.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 442, Just As I Am. The proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach the throne of God with confidence, asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith and in penitence, let us go to the throne of God using first the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. Holy God, we confess that we keep silent when we should speak. We see iniquity and the injustices of the world, yet are content not to call them out. We withhold kind words, yet are quick to speak in judgment. Forgive us, O God. Direct the way we should go and help us to use our voices to spread your grace and truth. Amen. Hear the good news. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are indeed washed away. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, please remain seated and let's sing together the Agnus Dei printed in your bulletin. Indeed, the Lamb of God does grant us peace. So, having received the peace of God's forgiveness, let's pass that peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray. O Lord of light and salvation, let these words of Scripture live not only in our mouths, but in our hearts, that we will embody your truth and confess with our lives that Jesus is Lord. Amen. I'll be reading Psalm 32. It's found on page 506 in your pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in those in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer, Selah. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin, Selah. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you at a time of distress. The rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with a bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Holy wisdom, holy words, thanks be to God.
Our next reading is from Paul's epistle to the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteous of God. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Did you notice? One form or another of the word reconciliation is used five times in the space of five short verses. Paul must think the word is important. When I hear the word reconciliation, I think of the word divorce. Divorce is permanent separation. Divorce is choosing to live apart. Divorce is an often painful decision that there are irreconcilable differences between persons that can only be solved by not being together. Often that decision can be made by only one party to a relationship. It takes both parties to make a relationship, but it only takes one to end it. If we knew Adam and Eve as one party, representative of humanity, and God as the other, it was humanity's choice to be disobedient and end the relationship. Adam and Eve introduced sin into the garden, spoiling the perfect relationship. Adam and Eve chose sin, that is, separation from God. Adam and Eve thought it was a good idea to divorce themselves from God. Note that we're talking about sin with a capital S. That's capital S at the beginning and no S at the end. That is, we're talking about the condition called sin, not a list of wrongs called sins. The condition called sin is separation from God. The condition sin is divorce from God. Living in sin is living separate from God. So even though we divorced God, God wants us to reconcile. God wants to get back together. Even though Adam and Eve wronged God and initiated a divorce on behalf of humanity, God wants a reconciliation. God wants to restore the relationship with all humanity. Even though God is the aggrieved party, God reaches out through Jesus Christ for reconciliation. And in that reconciliation, there is no guilt or blame. Often the barrier between separated parties is insurmountable because of guilt and blame. The parties find it hard to put history behind them and forgive old wrongs. But with God, it's as if the wrongs never happened. The scripture says it this way, quote, "So if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." What great news! The relationship is restored as if there is no history. There is no blame. Forgiveness wipes away the old wrongs that might be a barrier to relationship. My wife and I like to watch a TV show called 911. In one recent show, there was a police officer and an emergency room nurse who were dating. The police officer had accidentally left some personal items over at the nurse's house, and the nurse thoughtfully returned them to the officer at police headquarters the next morning. The police officer was embarrassed and said some unkind things, causing a rift in the relationship. Toward the end of the show, they reconcile after the police officer apologizes and he says, "Can we start over?" Sometimes that is what a relationship needs, a new start that forgets the past. God offers the freshest of new starts called a new creation. The old has passed away. The history of wrongs are no more. The reasons for separation are irrelevant. This new start, this new creation, is all God's doing. Sometimes in human relationships, reconciliation requires both parties to make concessions. In restoring human relationships, more often than not, both parties to the reconciliation have to forgive. However, Paul makes it quite clear that God is doing the reconciling. Paul says it this way: "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ." Even though humanity chose sin, chose separation from God, God bridged the gap between us with Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, God sent the message that all is forgiven and the relationship is restored. Jesus Christ was sent by God as the message of reconciliation. We do not have to live a broken relationship with God. We do not have to live divorced from God. We can live reconciled with God. This reminds me of a dream I had. Pope Francis and I died on the same evening and met up at the pearly gates. St. Peter met us and said he would take us to the place that had been prepared for us by God. First, he took Pope Francis to a small apartment with a cot that looked like a cell in a monastery. St. Peter told Pope Francis this was his new home. As we were leaving, Pope Francis asked if he could tag along since there's not too much to do in that little apartment. St. Peter said, "Sure," and we left there, climbing a hill until we got to a mansion. St. Peter told me this was my new home. Pope Francis looked at St. Peter and said, "Surely there's been a mistake. I have lived my life celibate and dedicated to God, and I'm assigned a cell while this lawyer gets a mansion?" St. Peter looked at Pope Francis and shrugged, saying, "We have a lot of popes up here, but this is the first lawyer." We know God does not play favorites, but extends equal grace to all. But here comes the hard part. When the relationship with the Father is restored, so is the relationship with the family. God not only accepts and welcomes us, God welcomes and accepts all God's children, even those we do not like, even those we hate. When God reconciles the world, that includes everyone. A story is told that Karl Barth, often called the greatest theologian of the 20th century, was asked what he would say to Adolf Hitler if he had the chance. Barth is reputed to have said that he would quote Romans 5:8, quote, "But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us," end quote. Yes, Christ even died for Adolf Hitler. Or to put it in today's terms, Jesus even died for Vladimir Putin. God extends open arms to all God's children, so God's family includes persons we might find it hard to forgive or hard to love. Whom God chooses to save is God's choice. God only knows whom we will find at God's dinner table. Now you might say, I'll worry about that in the afterlife. But according to N.T. Wright, we are living in the afterlife now. That is, after the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection which gives us all new life. We are to live today as if Jesus Christ has already ushered us into the kingdom. Jesus Christ reconciled us to God and invites us to live kingdom lives. Paul says it this way, quote, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation," end quote. Now that we have been reconciled, we all have an obligation to minister. All of us have the obligation of ministering to the reconciled. All of us have the obligation of preaching the good news that God has reconciled the world to himself through Jesus Christ. All of us have the obligation to treat the world as fellow family members who God has also invited to the table. Paul continues, quote, "That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us," end quote. God has entrusted the message, that is, the good news of the gospel, to us. God has entrusted the good news to us that God has reconciled the world to himself through Christ. Those are strong words. The message has been entrusted. We have been given an important message that is literally a message of life in the face of death. We've been given a message that must be passed on. What could be more important than passing on a message of love? What could be more sad than for a love letter to sit undelivered? The world needs to know that God does not want a divorce. The world needs to know that God has already reconciled with us. The world needs to know that the past is irrelevant. Because God will make everything new, a new creation. This message is entrusted to us. Paul calls us ambassadors for Christ. The message is so important that Christ died for it. Our message is as important as one a diplomat carries to a nation in conflict. Like a diplomat makes a plea for peace, God is telling us to pass the message of reconciliation to those estranged from God. Paul tells us to first accept that reconciliation ourselves, then pass it on. May each of us find the peace that comes from accepting God's reconciliation. And find the joy that comes from passing the message of reconciliation to a sad and separated world. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's stand together and say what we believe using the words of the traditional Apostles' Creed printed in your bulletin. What do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 417. Lord Jesus, think on me. Please be seated. There's only one Lord and God from whom all things come and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our gifts to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. We praise and thank you, Lord God, for the majesty of your work, the wisdom of your word, and the generosity of your grace. Let the gifts of our lives bear witness to your goodness and mercy, your faithfulness and justice, and your steadfast love for all. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Same mind that was in Christ Jesus, as we pray for the world he came to save, saying, "Have mercy, O God." We pray for the church. Make us ambassadors for your reconciling work. Let your church be a sign of the new creation that has come into the world through Christ. Have mercy, O God. We pray for the world. Roll away the stones that hold people captive in poverty and hunger, death and disgrace. Welcome all to your land of promise and plenty. Have mercy, O God. We pray for our communities. Help us to be better stewards of your gifts, so that all people might have an equal share in the basic necessities of human life. Have mercy, O God. We pray for the earth. Awaken in us hearts that love your creation. Energize us to action that saves the planet. Have mercy, O God. We pray for loved ones. Bring healing and peace to all who suffer, especially to families that are divided. Watch over those who are far from home. Have mercy, O God. As we pour out our hearts in prayer, O God, lead us to pour out our lives in service to you, ever seeking your will, ever following your way, all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Now please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 848, Trust in God. Having heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. May you find the peace that comes from accepting God's reconciliation. May you also find the joy that comes from passing the message of reconciliation to a sad and separated world. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.